back with episode 779 of the Critical Myth. I'm John, your host, and tonight we have...
Gary from Jacksonville. We have some pretty cool news stories, I think, to talk about yet, so...
That's right. We have a few things here that I think are going to pique your interest out there, and it's going to definitely prompt some discussion on our parts. But before we do any of that kind of stuff, Gary, since we are getting to some of the more recent news here, maybe a short disclaimer.
Yes, I'll keep it neat and tidy. We reveal secrets about current and upcoming shows. If you don't want to be spoiled, watch them and then come back and listen. Or if you want to be spoiled, we're pretty insightful sometimes, so pay attention.
There you go. And I think that we're going to go ahead and start off here just with a few news items from the CW, actually. First of all, it's just a little bit of a, I guess, reversal, which is actually more in line with what, Gary, you were predicting was going to happen, so good on you. It sounds like that Black Lightning show, which was supposed to be another DC Comics show, that was going to go to Fox, I believe, is now starting to be in talks to come to, sure enough, the DCW.
Yes!
So, yeah, we could have 5 shows in the DCW next season. Oh, boy. So there's that expansion.
When are they going to rename the network, John?
I think they just thought to get around to it. But beyond that, there is also news that CW is so happy with the reception for the new show Riverdale, which we may talk about later on this week. This being the Archie Comics inspired show that just premiered, they are now thinking maybe they will expand on that as well. So we could have two comics inspired television universes on the CW.
I've been waiting for Melissa Joan Hart to come back in Sabrina for years, so that's great news, John.
I don't think she'll be coming back to reprise her role. Sorry. I will say this. I mean, it's interesting, okay, that this kind of thinking is really starting to spread so ubiquitously, because no one ever talks now about simply, hey, let's have a show, make sure that's the best that we can, and then maybe years later we'll think about a spin-off or something like that, usually after the original show goes off the air. How can we continue to go forward in a slightly different way, maybe cheaper way, than if we had tried to continue the show, and then we'll have a spin-off? And then that is in and of itself kind of like the quote-unquote franchise idea. You were going to say something.
So. Oh, I was going to say, well, I wonder, I mean, usually you get sort of like they'd pull in a character from that universe and maybe even spin them off as well, even while the show's running or something like that. But I also wonder what the rights they license are. Maybe it's real cheap. They don't have to go after an existing property. If they bought the rights to all Archie characters, a spinoff would technically fall under that. So maybe it's a cheap way to get a new show where they don't have to pay a developer or some other royalty rights because they've already secured them.
It's possible that that's what it is. And that would make a lot of sense if that's what it turned out to be, is that, they've got this stuff that they got in a, lump sum or in one big chunk, and now they can parse it out the way that they want. I guess what kind of strikes me as odd is that this was always the exception to the rule, right? I mean, Star Trek was in the 90s so surprising in terms of its breadth and scope, because really there hadn't been any franchise like that ever.
No.
And it was so shocking that just to have two shows in that universe running at the same time was just huge. And then
and motion pictures at the same time.
Yeah.
It was the heyday of Star Trek, definitely, between two full series and major motion pictures coming out every 2 years. Yeah, that was
But let's remember, that was also the time, of course, for us, of Babylon 5. And what was one of the biggest obstacles for Babylon 5 was that there's already a franchise there.
Yes.
We don't need another show like this because there's the franchise, and the franchise does everything that anyone needs in terms of the audience. Fast forward 20 years later, everything has to be a cinematic universe. And that's the thing that I know we've talked about this a little bit here, but the reason that this came up was not actually the news articles for the CW, although they touch on the same idea here. But what came to mind was, and I promised we would talk about it again, Tom Cruise. I thought
you were just kidding me. Okay.
For The Mummy. And Tom Cruise is in the new version of The Mummy, right? But The Mummy is actually part of a larger, quote-unquote, Universal Monsters cinematic universe.
But they haven't done anything else.
That and... what was the other movie? I guess Godzilla is being pulled into it. And
well, it was Universal,
So the new Skull Island or whatever movie is being pulled into this. So all these are supposedly part of one big cinematic universe now. And eventually there will be films with all of them in it.
Well, I'll admit, I'd love to see a good Godzilla King Kong movie as much as the next guy, but I don't see bringing The Mummy into it too. But
oh yeah, it's like all over the map here. Okay, so, and that what I guess that's where I just kind of sit back and I shake my head and I go, are we to the point now where we're at, you know, we are at or even past peak cinematic universes? Like, how many can we have? How many can we try to shove out there? Because it really does seem like everything now can't simply be, you know, a couple films. Or, okay, we're going to make this a trilogy. All right, we're really going to make the trilogy 5. And, oh no, we can't simply have a franchise. Now we've got to have a mega franchise of a cinematic universe. And we even talked about it last time, where it's like, okay, Star Wars is this massive thing, you know, even beyond simply doing the mainline films. It's got to be this big, expansive universe. Marvel, definitely an example of this, although it's an example of a successful version. But people were saying years ago, are we getting to the point where it's going to peter out now? And, you know, there's concern that, okay, they're going to get to phase 3 and the end of phase 3, and they still want to keep going. But is there a natural end to this? Or is it just going to go and be milked to death? And meanwhile, they've tried other cinematic universes, and it hasn't worked. Like, Spider-Man was going to be, you know, the Amazing Spider-Man films were going to be the backbone of a Spider-Man cinematic universe, and it failed dramatically. The X-Men one, I think, is constantly on the verge of running its course, as we've discussed as well. So do we need to have a Universal Monsters cinematic universe? It has, Gary, have we reached the point where the fatigue is setting in?
I don't know that it's fatigue so much as crowded. I mean, you know, it's we sort of talk about this. Actually, we do a little bit with the DCW, where, like, I think we discussed maybe about 5 or 6 shows ago how, you know, you have all these shows crowded together, and there's not to say that they're bad or something like that, but, you know, there's only so much ice cream you can eat. At some point, you are going to need something else. And you know, if they fill it up too much, then I think they risk oversaturating the audience at some point. So I don't know that we're there yet, but I definitely think the possibility exists.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm coming from, is to think that it's like, that's great that you want to capitalize on this whole idea of this massive interconnected universe, but are they expecting everybody to invest in all of them? I just don't think it can happen. For that matter, you know, there's this whole idea of what they wanted to do with, what was it? I guess it's the Dark Tower, where they wanted to start the whole, let's have a TV series and movie thing going right off the bat. We're going to plan on both of them happening. And even the people who were behind the idea of a Dune reboot, or a new adaptation, were thinking along those potential lines. And there, it does have such an exciting aspect to it, right? To think, oh, wow, how could they do that? That would be really neat. You know, we even speculate sometimes, you know, hey, you know, the Harry Potter films were great, but weren't there some aspects of it that would really be more amenable to, like, a TV series where you could really dig into some of the subplots that can't fit into a 2-hour or 3-hour movie? You know, it is a bit of a seductive idea to have this really expansive treatment of a property, but like you were just saying, if everyone is doing it for everything, there's just only so much time in a day and in a year and in a lifetime to try and follow all of these faithfully, where before it would have been, hey, you know what? We go to a movie. Maybe Godzilla has a sequel. Good enough. I don't know that everything has to be this massive saga. But I don't know. Are there certain things that where you say this particular type of cinematic universe makes sense? where others would not. I think we see the difficulty that DC is having with trying to pull one together.
Well, we say that yet. As I look at the CW, especially outside of the DCW, I would think Archie very much would lend itself towards that kind of teenage angst universe type of thing. So we'll have to see. I think it might be actually a good match for this particular network. But
well, that one example, I feel like is that there's two aspects of that. For the first one is that as much as I know people enjoyed the first episode of Riverdale, I haven't seen the second one yet. That's exactly my point. It's been, what, two episodes already? Mm-hmm. Isn't it this jumping the gun just a little bit? Why don't we see what the ratings are like in 10 episodes?
Well, it's always gotten me this trend lately to almost like book three seasons based on the results of the first episode. I still don't grasp that leap to it, but...
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just the either way is true. It's like you get one episode and there's shows that just completely disappear after. It's like, whoa, really? Not even word of mouth, huh? We're not even going to wait. Okay. But no, that's very true, is that we also get that whole thing on just on one show's basis where, yep, you know what? We did this, so we're going to renew it for three seasons. Okay. You don't even know if it's going to still be popular in five episodes, let alone 5 years from now. Mm. But Riverdale, yeah, would it? Riverdale itself seems to fit very well on that network.
Yeah.
I think that as an adaptation, it works just fine. And I kind of liked it when I started watching it and I wasn't sure what it was because I completely forgot that that's what the Archie adaptation was. Because I'm not that familiar with the Archie comics, so it didn't.
You don't have to be there. The show is so violently different, but
It is, and I think that's why it works, because it almost, you could almost think of it as if Archie had not been so directly referenced and it was just slightly more indirect. You could almost see that show as a completely different property that is just ironically name checking and referencing Archie, and it would work perfectly fine. It's interesting as a reimagining, and I know that that's what it's supposed to be, but again, if it's just one of these things where it's just characters just happen to be named the same as these characters over here, I think that that would work, and it might actually be kind of cleverly subversive in its own right because of what it's implying in the show, because the whole show is kind of about this is what you think these stories are about, but there's this darker side to it, which is, I think, you know, there's something deconstructive about that, but there's also something that is intriguing about that notion. And it is absolutely in line with the whole David Lynch 80s, 90s, you know, oeuvre, if you want to put it that way.
Well, let's save it for when we discuss it, because...
Yes, I know, we're kind of already digging into that.
But, yeah.
But no, I can definitely see that, but at the same time, is it enough for me to say, you know what, we need four shows about that? And I do agree with you that, you know, the DCW is a great example of how they do it okay, but hasn't that universe struggled to maintain its sense of cohesiveness and or individual show identity the more and more that they expand?
Well, I mean, if you really want to use the DCW as a perfect example, you know, I thought Flash was very different from Arrow, and they were easily able to keep their even with crossovers, were able to keep their flavor about each show pretty well. I think they struggled a little bit more with Supergirl, and I honestly feel that they don't know what the heck they're doing with Legends. So I guess as they hit show four, yeah, you do start to see problems. But I definitely say that the first spinoff was pretty strong, so maybe it could support at least one more. So
I would say, you see, I'm just looking at the way that it's changed over time, and I think we've talked about this here and now, but The Flash in particular, I feel like it absolutely started off as a very different kind of show than Arrow. And when it was just Arrow and The Flash, yeah, they were each hitting a certain part of the niche that people were looking for. And I think that it worked really well. Then you had Legends, and now you have Supergirl. And if you really kind of watch the shows, I feel like Supergirl is inhabiting the space that the Flash used to better than the Flash does these days. I feel like the Flash actually has a bit of an identity crisis right now. It doesn't seem to know what it wants to be, other than repeating things endlessly, which is kind of the Flash comic from what you've told us.
Yes, before. Yes, it is. Yeah. And I know what you're saying. You know, the Flash, their sort of hook or formula is to have this, you know, dark thing hanging over a upbeat Barry, and it feels like as they keep throwing, you know, bad thing and bad thing after him, that, you know, Barry can't quite smile as much as he used to anymore because he's had so many bad things happen to him. And I agree with you. I really wish they would lighten up for maybe, geez, at least 3 or 4 episodes and give the guy a breather or let things build up before they put some sort of crippling weight on his shoulders again. He very much feels like almost more like Atlas than Mercury sometimes. So. Or he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders and he just can't quite get out from under it.
But you bring up a good point about these cinematic universes that I think is the other side that makes me wonder, are we seeing too many people trying to do this and not learn from others? Because what have we said about Marvel before? And we say it pretty often. They managed to find a tone in each of their productions that, while it does fit the quote-unquote house rules and house, you know, look and feel for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, they do have their own identity. Like, it always comes back to, you know, the Winter Soldier really feels like it is this 70s political thriller. And then you go to Thor and it's this high adventure type thing. And then you go to Doctor Strange and it's very different than some of these other films. And Ant-Man is a heist movie. You know, it's basically all these different subgenres within the comic book universe. But then you go to DC and, frankly, I don't even know what they're trying to do with those movies half the time.
I heard a rumor they want Snyder to direct Batman. Did you hear me screaming from thousands of miles away?
Is that what that noise was?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, because, you know, what were they trying to achieve with Suicide Squad? That's what I would love to know.
I wonder what the original cut looked like.
Right? I really wonder.
Before they went for a comedy, yeah.
So you've seen it since then, since we talked about it last time?
Oh, yes, I was flying in yet another aluminum tube in the sky over the holidays, and I did catch it, yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, that was Frankenstein monster of a movie.
Like I said, I wonder what the original cut was. I imagine it was dark and brooding and might have fit the characters, but oh, well, that's just me.
Yeah, that one would have made sense to be dark and brooding.
And so might Superman. A Batman movie, actually, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, it's... I'm just curious as to, so what exactly do all these, like, monster movies think that they're going to give us other than, hey, look, it's a different monster in a different setting. There's just such a sameness to a lot of what's going on. Anyway, I think we've exhausted this particular topic until we get some other information down the pike, but let's see what else we have here as I was going through, and it's a related topic. But Gary, I'm actually curious because you probably know a little bit more or have more of an opinion than I do about this right now.
I've
been trying to catch up on my comic book reading.
That's arduous to do, though, you know. We're not at the peak that at one time was. There are a lot of books coming out all the time.
Yes, there are, and it always seems like they're interconnected in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, I kind of miss some of the separate storylines. I enjoyed when everybody sort of got together for the summer and then forgot they existed after that.
Well, yeah, that's kind of one of the things that came to mind as I was kind of trying to catch up, is that I remember when I was, you know, first reading comic books, yeah, there were these events, and like you said, it seemed like it was every summer, but you'd have time to breathe between them. And it feels like they just lurch from event to event. And in particular, I'm thinking Marvel. I don't know about DC quite as well, but maybe you can tell me if that's true for them as well.
No, I guess it depends by title, but I know what you're saying. And, you know, I don't know if it's the binge mentality that we seem to enjoy as a culture lately or what it is exactly. But, you know, the problem is they're... In the goal to constantly hook new people, you don't get that episode where you don't get that issue where things slow down and you get a story about a secondary character or just one particular little aspect of the main character that they don't really devote time to. You know, over the years, I think Superman, of course, is a prime example where you weren't necessarily getting blockbusters every week in the 70s and the 80s. But, you know, there'd be heck, I remember one episode where he was worried about his costumes getting found in his apartment. You know, by no means a nail-biter of a comic book series, but it helped you understand what the character goes through on a daily basis and made him more relatable. And I don't think you would get an episode like that, an issue like that today. It won't happen because they're constantly trying to show these, you know, big things to, you know, hook more and more of an audience. And numbers are up a little bit lately, not tremendously, but they're up from what they had been. People are reading comic books a slight bit more, no doubt, thanks to the popularity of movies and television. But I think it's just that flash boom. They want to just shock people all the time, and you don't get as I shouldn't say never, but it's harder and harder to come across a well-scripted story.
Yeah, and I guess right now I'm months behind again because that happens so easily. For the reason that you mentioned, it seems like, hey, why not have 10 books for 10 times the price instead of the quality of one? But yeah, it just seems like I'm in the middle of this Civil War II stuff, and it's just...
It does end.
It does end?
When you catch up, yeah, it should end in... If you're still in it, you probably got another 3 months worth of reading, so...
Oh, yeah, I bet I do. And it just seems like they're already setting the stage for the next big thing that's going to happen. Like, they're not even going to let this have an aftermath, it feels like. They're just going to go whoop right into the next thing. And meanwhile, you've got this same thing with the X-Men books, which I'm happy to report that there are still, in fact, X-Men books. So that's nice.
Yes, they did not meet the demise that Fantastic Four has continued to meet. So,
But what I did realize was that they're literally running right through this stuff for Civil War into this thing with something to do with Inhumans, and then literally there's another event right after that, and one that I saw advertisements for the event that comes right after that. And it's like, guys.
Well, I'm caught up, John. Do you want to know who lives and dies?
No. Okay. I'm okay. Right. I'm okay. Okay. But it's just like, literally, I'm reading this and I'm going, you've announced 3 events in the space of 6 months. You don't need that. I just, because I'd rather have time to just think about the implications of the first one. Let the characters kind of, you know, deal with it and then move on maybe, but it just feels like, wow, they are just constantly grasping at straws. And I know that they need to have an audience, but wow, I think that the audience gets fatigue after a while. Maybe I just can't hang like I used to when I was a kid. Is that it?
Well, keep in mind, number one, that a lot of people are not actually getting individual issues anymore. A lot of these are written with the thought that they'll go right to trade paperbacks. Trade paperbacks are actually starting to overtake. Well, they have been actually overtaking individual issues for a while now. People don't want to wait every month, 3 or 4 months, to read a storyline. But guess what? You know, they'll pick it up and read all 4 issues bound together. And that's sort of what's been happening in the printed world for a while now.
Yeah, and it might be exactly that. It might be that they section off things in these, you know, in such a way that you can just shove it into a 6 to 8 issue chunk and put it on a shelf. And okay, now you've got the, you know, volume 1 of this saga and volume 2 of that saga, which then you can in 3 or 4 months you're going to get the next one that looks nice on the shelf next to those two. And not unlike the fact that you can almost time the arcs in the Walking Dead comic to every 6 issues or so. Because yes, you know that it's designed to begin and end roughly where the trade paperback is going to go. Like right now, I am up to date with The Walking Dead just to get away from Marvel and DC slightly. And yeah, to your point, it's a 6-part story. It's like, wow, 6-part story, huh? Wait. Funny how that works.
Yeah,
and you
exactly.
Get used to it. I know you get used to it because, yeah, I mean, we all read, but it does seem like, okay, event here, like you said, chunk here between these 4 series, you have just enough issues to fit into this paperback, which means that you can do the same thing 2 months from now, and then the same thing 2 months from now, and it's I get that kind of logic, I guess, from the marketing point of view, but it does, like I said, it does feel like you miss something. you've got these little interstitial stories that you'll never see.
No, those for a large extent they've gone away, and those interstitial stories are for the longtime readers. And I don't, I know they exist, but at the same time, and I consider myself definitely to be one of them, we don't get catered to anymore. It's not about us anymore. And geez, we always hoped comic books would be popular, and now we got what we asked for. You know, it's become a mass. It's becoming more and more a mass media item, and not this niche market. And it's changing what we get now. So that's the price to pay for fame, I suppose.
I'm sensing a theme this week. Get off our digital lawn.
No, it's fine. We would not have gotten a lot of stuff that we've gotten without the popularity and the eyes and people sitting in the seats to do it. So, you have to take the good with the bad, and it's what it is. But comic books haven't gone away, and I remember the naysayers that digital was going to kill it and all this sort of stuff, and they're still printing, and they're printing in better numbers than a few years ago. So it's still a positive, and digital subscriptions are up tremendously. So people might not be buying the printed versions, but they're still getting the stories.
It goes back to our whole thing of, do you actually own them? But I do feel like I'm thinking back to, you used to get the next issue of the book, and you never knew if it was going to be even from, the same creators. Never mind the storyline continuing. You didn't know if that month was going to be a, hey, for whatever reason this month, we have this one-off or story that we have from these folks that we took a chance on this thing from the slush pile or something like that. And I'm thinking, God, how many Spider-Man issues did they oops, we weren't ready to run this
story? Will be continued next issue, but this month we're looking at as I got older and sort of read about the industry, you realize that somebody didn't get their job done in time, and that's why you're getting that issue, probably the artist.
Yes, almost 99% of the time. And I think that even then it was kind of obvious, because sometimes they would simply say, hey, we're running late, so we're going to give you this one shot. And it's always these people that were obviously not the main folks at the studio. They were in the office. They were people who made a submission, and this is kind of like their one chance to get into the door, is if these circumstances take place. And now their issue manages to make it in, where it was always just sitting on the shelf waiting for this moment. And you just got that sense nowadays that time is long past, and you just never have that now. Unless it's like some kind of indie book where they constantly are looking for anything that they can get from people. I remember there was this one book, I think it was, I don't even know, does Top Cow still exist? Or is it just Image in general? But there was,
it's just
like,
Image.
It was like related to Witchblade and Darkness and all this, and there was this book called Artifacts. And for a while there were those arcs that we talked about, and then they kind of ran out of story, and for a while there, they were taking all these submissions and winners of contests for the past like 3 or 4 years and just running them month after month. And I'm not saying they were bad in any way, but it's like that was the last time that I remembered seeing like a main, publisher book put out material that was obviously not from the main creators, that was from something outside where they put a highlight, like a spotlight on it. I guess DC occasionally does that still. I know that there was some stuff in Wonder Woman for a while where they do have two concurrent storylines going on, but even then they can't seem to keep up with that schedule. So you've got things like a third thing jumping in every so often, and it's kind of a jumble. But I was just, as I'm reading through, because I'm reading at an accelerated rate when I actually do get a chance to sit down and do it, I'm kind of binging a little bit, which kind of goes ironically against my point, but it just seems like it's like, wow, the characters just don't stop moving. There's no breathing at all. There's no reflection on what's just happened. There's this cataclysmic thing that's just happened to the X-Men again, and they go lurching into the next apocalyptic situation.
You think you'd expect them to be all psychotic, not just Wolverine. I know.
Yeah. Just a little. Contrast that, because I think that part of it is that a lot of the comics reading, so to speak, if you want to put that in air quotes, that I and some other people that I know have been doing lately is, you know, manga, Japanese comics. And my goodness, you can have a story arc play out over years and just churn along. And you will go into, like, the weirdest, like, implications of something for months before they move on to even, like, the latest piece of that story arc, let alone story arc after story arc. No, I mean, even though it comes out in volumes after it's originally printed, those volumes are simply the collection of those latest, you know, 4 to 10 chapters.
Yeah.
It isn't broken up as obviously as it is here. And I think that's what it is that I can, you know, I'll read a volume of this thing and go, okay, yeah, it's just continuing the story, and, you know, it goes into this detail, and you get to really see what the implications are for the characters. And then I read, like, 5 issues of X-Men and think, wow, I just went through 2 events in the space of 5 issues. What the hell?
Yeah. No, I agree. It's all, you know, created for that mini series, so to speak, those 4 to 6 episodes that get bound.
Now, just curious, what do you feel about the state of DC comic universe right now? I mean, the fact that the Legion isn't there still.
Patience, John. Patience. It's coming, John. It's coming. Anyway, long live the Legion. Anyway, that being said, I enjoy the route they're going. Some people felt, and I have to be, I'm especially one of them, that felt that they strayed too far from their source material, that in this attempt to recreate the universe for the 105th time, they took it too far. And now that they're pulling back a little bit, you know, Superman is not this disturbed guy who doesn't know right from wrong and is questioning whether to wake up in the morning. Instead, he's back to being that sort of confident hero who may not be the, you know, have every solution, but he's going to try and do his best. And you know that. And I sort of like that slight return. Batman now is a little scarier, but not psychotic anymore. I feel they're getting back. I don't know. I can say they're getting back to anything, but it just feels like they're capturing more of the true essence of the characters, as if they've all strayed a little bit in their attempt to make them interesting to people. They strayed so much that they almost weren't recognizable as themselves. And now it feels that they've come back a little bit, and they are. You could have a casual reader pick up a Batman or a Superman comic, and they won't scratch the head and say, what the hell did they do to the person? The characters are ringing a lot more true than I feel they had in the past. So I think they're on the right track again. I don't think just because Superman is confident in his powers and is trying to do good, that makes him a weak character, an ineffective character, or a character that has no place in current time. So, I often think of how they but short of the recent series, have, you know, kept Captain America sort of timely, even though he's obviously a very dated concept. You can still have a dated concept and use them in the current universe, sometimes to poke fun at, sometimes to show what changes have occurred, and other times, as I said, just to keep that new reader to want to pick up a story and recognize the characters. So I like what DC's doing. I think they're going in the right track. And they're exploring a few different means to do so. They're taking chances with artists that I don't think they would have in the past, to try and capture people who like different drawing styles. And so I'm really happy with DC right now. As I look through my monthly polls, right now DC is back ahead again. There was several years where they weren't, but they're starting to pick up, at least in my my pickup count lately. So I think they're doing a great job. I think they've come back strong with this new I guess I call it rebirth, I believe is the current term for what's happening in the universe, and I like it a lot. It's working very well. I'm even enjoying some of the anachronisms that are in it. This current Superman is actually sort of the our Superman from Earth One, if you want to go back through enough crises. And the Wally West character is also from from the New 52 universe, and so both he and Superman remember the universe, current universe, a little bit differently, and they're sort of companions, I guess, in a sense, where like, geez, if this stuff ever gets you, you know, call me, because you know it's kind of weird, and so it's it was in the latest Teen Titans one where Superman comes and he's like, oh hi Wally, he's like, you remember me? Because at this point, none of the Titans remember him. And he's like, oh, of course I do. And then they sort of commiserate about, you know, how, you know, things are a lot different. And they're like, yeah, but, you know, that's not necessarily bad. And, you know, we're kind of lucky to be here. And so it was sort of interesting for these two people out of their universes to sort of, you know, not poke fun at, but just sort of laugh at the situation they find themselves in. And so things like that, where they harken back to the old universe, but I don't say wouldn't say they actually slap it into our face either. So I like it a lot. So I hope they'll keep going. I hear the numbers are reasonably decent for them too. So I'm hoping it keeps up. DC continues to get regardless of the quality of or what you think of some of the movies, Batman versus Superman did generate a lot of renewed interest in DC comic books. So I hope it keeps up.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a lot to catch up on still on my end, in Rebirth especially, but I'll get there one day. I'm hoping that, as you said, it's good with the bad. The popularity out there does mean that we get more of what we love and what we grew up hoping would never go away, and it's certainly not going anywhere yet. All right, well, I think that's where we're going to go ahead and wrap this particular episode up. When we come back next time, we're going to get into some of this week's episodic discussion. So, until then.
And so ends another epic episode of The Critical Myth. If you want to leave a comment for this show, head over to vognetwork.com. Not only can you find links to the podcast version of each show, but there is a dedicated forum, a ton of written reviews, and related articles by the crew throughout the site. For the written reviews, you can even leave your own review, so let us know if you agree or not. You can also leave comments on our Facebook page, Critical Myth, on Twitter at Critical Myth, or Google Plus, under The Critical Myth Show. Any and all use of copyrighted material is only intended for discussion, commentary, parody, or educational purposes, in accordance with U.S. Code Title 17, also known as Fair Use. In other words, please don't sue us. And of course, the statements and opinions of the Critical Myth crew are not necessarily those of the VOG network, its partners, or affiliates. But let's face it, we're probably right anyway. Until next time, watch, read, and listen, and believe in the Critical Myth.